Hey, welcome to the Shir Nebuchadnezzar in Parshas Chukas. One of the great riddles in Parshas Chukas is not even so much the Parah Aduma, which of course is the quintessential riddle, the puzzle which starts off the Parshas HaShavua, but the riddle which troubles many of the Mepharshim is trying to understand what exactly the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu is with regards to the rock. That is, what did he do that was so terrible that dooms him and Aaron to be condemned not to go into Eretz Yisrael? So there's a relatively longer Ibn Ezra. Again, you know, Ibn Ezra tends to be laconic, so even a paragraph in Ibn Ezra is already considered long by his standards. So I wanted to go through this Ibn Ezra together, but Ibn Ezra tries to understand, you know, what possibly could have been so terrible about what Moshe Rabbeinu did. He mentions numerous different interpretations, all of which he rejects, and then we'll see the final interpretation which he's comfortable with, one which is, I think, somewhat different than the ones which we may have encountered in the past, a very, very interesting and unique take on the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu. So, if you have a chumash, this is Ser Chof, Chosek Ches, also says, Vaydabra Hashem Moshe Reimah, Kachet HaMateh, take the staff, the Hakel Es Ha'Ezah, after the Aaron Achicha, should gather together the congregation, you together with your brother Aaron, with the Bartem El Asel El Reineyem, to not that name of. And you should speak, this way the Bartem is usually translated, you should speak to the rock in the eyes of the entire congregation, such that the rock will produce its water. We know that that's not exactly what happens. Moshe Rabbeinu gathers the people, he says, Shimula Amorim, listen, O you rebels, Hamin Hasela Azen Otsi Lachem Mayim, shall we indeed draw forth water from this rock for you? Then Moshe Rabbeinu strikes the rock twice, much water comes out, but somehow that was a terrible sin, which leads to Moshe Rabbeinu being denied entry into Eretz Yisrael. Says the Ibn Ezra, Yesh Bekan Peirushim Rabbim. A lot of different interpretations as to how to understand this story. Yesh b'divrei yochid. There is a minority opinion that the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu was that he said to the people, listen up, O you rebels, the hand of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And after all, how could you call the Jewish people rebels? They are the children of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I think it's a Benny Friedman song, if I'm not mistaken. They're the children of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So, you know, how can you call them a bunch of rebels? It's not nice, it's not appropriate, and it's so not nice and not appropriate that Moshe Rabbeinu was denied entry into Eretz Yisrael as a result of that language. Who is this Divrei Yochid? Who is this minority opinion who he quotes? So, essentially, this is the Psikta of Rav Kahana, one of the Midrashim, that attributes this as being the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, we've seen consistently that Ibn Ezra, even when he finds the Medrash, is not concerned to label the Medrash a Divrei Yochid, a solitary or a minority opinion, and not every Medrash represents the opinion of all of Chazal, the way that Ibn Ezra understands it. So this is a solitary opinion, you know, not necessarily the major opinion. Since Ibn Ezra doesn't think the opinion is correct, the Iluhaya Kain, Lama Amar Lohem Od, Marlin Hayisem, in Zvarim Peretes, right? If the problem, the sin that condemned Moshe Rabbeinu not to come into Eretz Yisrael is the fact that he called the Jewish people a bunch of rebels, so then we find that he repeats the sin again in Sefer Dvarim, Parshas Vashanam. It says, Mamrin Ayisim Hashem Yom Dati Eschem. It's Akev, I think, actually. Right? Teretes in Sefer Dvarim. Mamrin Ayisim Hashem Yom Dati Eschem Moshe Rabbeinu. In that retrospective which he gives at the very end of his life, says, you know, you were rebels. Vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the day that I knew you. Right? So it's calling the Jewish people rebels, denied your access to Eretz Yisrael, it wouldn't be the best thing to do, you know, to continue in that sin. So l'chor, that's not the problem, says the Ibn Ezra. Zacherim Amru, others say, and here we'll see that this does not seem to be an explanation of Moshe Rabbeinu's sin so much as an alternative explanation of the parasha in general. Kimila v'dibartem Kimo v'hikisa. We translate the Dibarta and El Hasela as you should speak to the rock. But the sense is that, as according to another opinion, the word v'dibarta actually means to hit. In which case, as David Ezra himself is going to point out, on the one hand, it makes the story read very well. On the other hand, it makes the story read too well, right? Because then Moshe Rabbeinu was doing exactly what he's told to do. The Dibarta El Hasela means hit the rock. So look, okay, he goes, he hits the rock. And then the Ribbono Shel Olam says, why did you hit the rock? What do you mean, why did I hit the rock? I told you hit the rock, right? Why does the Dibarta mean the Hikisa? Where have we ever heard of that before? L'chamava, Tavere, Kozera, Hamalucha. Right, we find in Divrei Yomim sliding all of the rest of the surviving members of the royal family. The verb which is used is Dalet Beis Reish, the same word for speaking. Name Zenachem. So this is not correct either. Says it's an Ezra Kihami or Megizras Dever. That word in Divrei Yomim that speaks about obliterating the rest of the royal family is related not to the word l'daber, to speak, but rather to the word zedah, which, as we know, means pestilence, you know, a plague. Was cast a plague upon the surviving members of the royal family. Or perhaps it's similar to the typical tefillin we say before Tkiyas Shofar, yadver anin tachtenu, let God cause the other nations to be under our dominion. Right? In other words, a dabar is a leader, right? So in other words, it's interesting, you have the same root for speaking, leadership, and pestilence. If you think about it, you can probably come up with some kind of connection between those three things, right? Speaking, leadership, and pestilence are more tied together than you might think, that they all share a common root, you know, in Hebrew. But in any case, you know, he says, you know, it's hard to say that the Dibartem in our context means the Hikisem. It just doesn't make sense. The Oz, in Ken HaPirush, Loma Men HaShmosha. And by the way, if that's what it means, even if you can convince me that the Dibartem HaSela means you should hit the rock, so then why is Moshe Rabbeinu going to be punished? He did exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. Aye, so says the Ibn Ezra, Gamhene Shivu. Right? So, of course, that's an obvious question. So, those who hold of that interpretation say, you know what Moshe Rabbeinu's sin was? He hit the rock twice. He was told to hit the rock, and he hit it twice. That extra smash of the rock, that was the whole problem. Wow, okay. You know, it's really holding Moshe Rabbeinu to a very, very high standard. So, says the Ibn Ezra, okay, I hear that, but there's still a problem with that. And Kena Pirush, in Kena Loma Nenash Aaron. So what are you blaming Aaron for? If you say that the directive was to speak to the stone, you know, and Aaron and Moshe go out, and Moshe's taking the staff, and he's about to, you know, to hit the rock, so that Aaron should have interceded. Right? So maybe he's held accountable for not interceding. But if Moshe Rabbeinu hits the rock because he's supposed to, and before anyone can do anything, he just picks up his hand, you know, slightly and hits it again, it's hard to really fault Aaron for not interceding at that point, because you would need lightning reflexes in order to be able to react and to do anything. So how are you holding Aaron culpable, even if you hold that Moshe Rabbeinu was held culpable because of the fact that he hit the rock twice as opposed to once? So the Ibn Ezra doesn't like that either. Vayomer Rav Moshe HaKohen HaSfardi. So Rav Moshe HaKohen HaSfardi, right? Who's that? Rav Moshe Jikatila, a poet and a commentator in medieval Spain. So he gives the following interpretation. Yesh osos nasos bedibur, v'yesh bepolal bedibur, k'mo melech Elisha, Hashem siva sheikha hamas elahakos basela, k'mishpat hatsur, v'hosif milas v'dibartem, l'hosi hamayim v'make uv'dibur. Uva'avur shich iso yisoel, omar lohem, hamin hasela hazeh no siwachem mayim, v'hoistu daito, ki ein yichol esbonu v'hosi mayim in hasela, Hear the Kolach Hashem. V'hineilo pirosh diburo heitev. V'choshvu anoshim v'libom ki divur shelo yuchal Hashem l'hosti ma'imin ha'sela. V'zeh tam ha'shelo ki dashtem osti. Comes with Moshe Chikatilo and he says the following again, very, very interesting interpretation. The fault of Moshe Rabbeinu is when he turns to the people and he says, Hamin Hasela Hazeh, no Silachem Mayim. Right? Shall we indeed draw out water for you from this stone? Now, says Moshe Chikatilo, Moshe in that utterance means one thing, but he opens himself up to being interpreted in a different way. It all depends where you put the stress, the emphasis in the pasuk. Says Rav Moshe Chikatilo, what Moshe Rabbeinu meant to say was, Hamin hasela hazeh notzi lachem mayim, shall from this rock we bring forth water? Shall we, human beings, be capable of bringing forth water from this rock? Clearly, we human beings are incapable of bringing forth water from the rock. So if you see that we're going to hit the rock and water is going to pour forth, obviously this is a miracle. That's what he meant to say. However, the people could have heard the following. Hamin hasela hazeh nosi lochem mayim? Do you think that we're able to actually get water out of the stone? You think this is going to work? Right? In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu's utterance can be interpreted as expressing a certain amount of doubt as to whether we'll be able to pull it off. That moment of doubt, which wasn't even intended by Moshe Rabbeinu, is enough to hold Moshe Rabbeinu accountable for having not created a Kiddush Hashem. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu being held to an incredibly high standard. It wasn't what you said either. It was the fact that what you said was open to misinterpretation that led to the Chilul Hashem. Again, a tremendous takeaway lesson for anyone, right? In other words, you have to be careful not only about what you do, but even about the perception of what you do, which, by the way, is part and parcel of the whole idea of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem. We saw the Gemara in Yuma a number of months back, right? It's not just about whether you do the right thing. You have to do the right thing and look like you're doing the right thing. You have to avoid the appearance of impropriety, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu, apparently, according to Moshe Chikatilo, did not avoid the appearance of impropriety in what he said. But again, obviously holding Moshe Rabbeinu to a very, very high standard. The heavy right is different from the story of Sha'amah. Ki himru es rucho vayivatevis vasof. And Rav Moshe Chikatilo says that is an answer, brings a proof to his position from a pasuk in Tehillim. Now this is an important pasuk in Tehillim because the Ibn Ezra as well later on is going to build his interpretation on this pasuk in Tehillim. In Tehillim, Kapitel Kuf Vav, the Kapitel Tehillim engages in a historical retrospective of the history of Klal Yisrael. And poetically there, the chapter of Tehillim describes the incident with Moshe Rabbeinu on the rock, and it says, "Ki himru es rucho," they embittered his spirit, "Vayivakei b'svosov," and he expressed something with his lips. Now, the subject of that sentence is not clear. Rashi over there in Tehillim understands that the subject of that sentence is the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the way to understand that pasuk is as follows. The Jewish people embittered God's spirit, so to speak. In other words, they rebelled against God. And God therefore expressed with his lips, i.e. the oath, that Moshe and Aaron were not going to Eretz Yisrael. But Moshe Shekatila understands the pasuk differently. The subject of the sentence is Moshe Rabbeinu. Ki himru es rucho, the Jewish people made Moshe Rabbeinu's spirit bitter. Vayivatei b'svosov, that Moshe Rabbeinu expressed something with his lips that was inappropriate. In other words, the sin, hachet hoya devituo lo demaka. It wasn't the striking which was the problem, right? Because again, Rav Moshe Shekatila explains that perhaps the command for Moshe Rabbeinu was to do an action and to speak in order to bring about the sign. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was told, after all, to take the matzah, hit the rock, and speak while you're doing it. In other words, there's an action, but there's also a verbal expression. So that wasn't the problem. But the problem was expressing himself in a way that lent itself to misinterpretation. That was the whole problem. What's that? So you could understand it that way as well, right? But the Rosh Hashanah is understanding that it's not the Shimon HaMorim per se, it's the second half of the Pasuk. I mean, I still have nothing left in mind. Right? Again, the Pasuk just says, by Latavis Pasuk, there was some D-word that he made which was inappropriate. But again, there is a common denominator that it's the speech which was the problem, not so much the action that he did. Right, so, but again, it's all about what people might misunderstand. So, someone might have said, well, that was in the schus of Miriam. But now that Miriam is gone, the ability to bring about water from the rock is, you know, so to speak, dried up, right? It's not, it's not there anymore. I don't know how much you have to pardon for a misinterpretation, right? In other words, this is what they might have misunderstood. People, when they willingly want to misunderstand, can misunderstand anything any way they want. So he says, again, we still have the kasha. Why was Aaron punished for something that Moshe Rabbeinu said? So, the Ibn Ezra himself, one second, well, that's the Ibn Ezra himself is just a minute. He brings more interpretations that he rejects. Acherim Amru. Of course, a very fascinating interpretation. What was the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu? It had nothing to do with what they did. It was what they didn't do. They should have sung a song upon the fact that the Be'er had now been reignited. They should have given thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a celebratory fashion. Come on, Ali Be'er and Ullah. Right? Later on, you know, in the Sedra, they do sing a song about the Be'er. Again, Chazal understands that that was not about the Be'er in general, it was about the Be'er's involvement in a particular incident, which is described at the beginning of the ninth parak of Brachos. But why wait for some kind of supernatural incident like that? Why not just sing Shira over the fact that the Be'er has been reignited after the death of Miriam? And there, the Ribbono Shel Olam can hold Moshe and Aaron both accountable, because they both should have realized that the omission of Shira was something terrible. The Zed Tam Asher Lo Kidashta. What does it mean, Asher Lo Kidashta Lo Ki? You didn't sanctify me after the fact. Right? In other words, where was your song of thanksgiving for this incredible thing which you experienced? Let's skip that a little bit more. So he writes as follows. Again, I skipped a little bit because I want to get to the idea of the Ibn Ezra himself, which is as follows. Hafirish hanochem ve'enai agaleru biramithos. The interpretation which to my mind is the correct one, I will reveal through hints, says the Ibn Ezra. He goes on to say as follows. That you should know. Ki kasher yeda hachelek es hakol. When the part knows the whole, yidvak bakol, he will cling to the whole. Vichadesh bakol osos umosim, and through the whole, he will be able to bring about signs and wonders. I think that's pretty clear, so we'll just move on. Now, what's he talking about? Right? When the part knows the whole, he clings to the whole and brings about through the whole signs and wonders. Right? So first of all, just to clarify, whole over here is with a W. Right? When the part knows the whole and clings to the whole, W-H-O-L-E, he can bring about through the whole signs and wonders. What's this talking about? The whole is the again in the remizos, in the hints of the Ezra, the whole is a reference to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? God includes everything. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekomo Shel Olam. The world is located within HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is everything in the end of the day. A human being is a chelek. He is merely a portion of the great universe, and as such can perhaps only touch, so to speak, a small sliver of that which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, there is a phenomena through which when a human being can truly attach himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the fullest way possible, he can become one with God, so to speak, and that enables the human being to perform all kinds of miracles. How does a human being have the ability to perform miracles? Right? The only way to do it, says the Ezra, is to take your finite self and attach yourself to the infinite God. And by attaching yourself to the infinite God, however you do that exactly, by engaging in tremendous zeikus, that then gives you the power to channel the ability to do miracles because of your connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does that have to do with us? Well, Hinei HaChelek Cholak. In our case, the part, i.e. Moshe Rabbeinu, broke off from his Zeikus to Hashem. In his commentary to Tehillim, the Ibn Ezra explains this a little bit more as follows. And on that pasuk in Tehillim Kuf Vav, Lamed Gimel, Ki Himu Es Rucho, Vay Batei Bishkosa. So he writes, Hu Bitei She'omar V'Yisrael Molim. Moshe Rabbeinu, in order to be able to perform this miracle, achieve the tremendous degree of tzedekus, of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has prepared himself. You can't just waltz in and perform a miracle. You have to prepare yourself in order to perform a miracle. How do you prepare yourself to perform a miracle? You cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, however you do that exactly. So Moshe Rabbeinu is all psyched. He's connected to Hashem. He's ready to perform this miracle of bringing the water out of the rock. And he turns to the people in a moment of anger and says, Shimon Amorim, I mean, I fell on that, I'll see what I'm lying. You think we can do this? You're a bunch of rebellious people? In that moment of anger, he breaks the connection between himself and Hashem. Right? Right, exactly. The connection between him and Hashem is cut, or he's severed in some way. Because you can't have this anger within you and still be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that profound fashion. So, the Shochach Ledaber Vehikah. And because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu got a little bit confused, and he ended up changing the instructions from God ever so slightly. And as a result, the people saw that Moshe Rabbeinu brought about this miracle, but not in the way in which he was fully connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the way in which he had distanced himself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu a little bit. So the full effect of watching someone truly connected to Hashem bringing about a miracle was not achieved on that day. That was a chilul Hashem. That was a desecration of God's name, says the Ibn Ezra, insofar as the people lost out on this opportunity to see how a miracle is really supposed to happen. So that says the Eved Ezra, going back to Bamidbar. That's what it says in Tehillim, Vayivate Bisvasov, that Moshe Rabbeinu expressed something with his lips, and that was the cause of the sin. It wasn't, the punishment to Moshe Rabbeinu was not that he said something specific, it's that he spoke it all. Because the minute you speak, you're matzik. The same way that we have a problem during davening. When a person talks during davening, they sever the connection between themselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu was on fire. He came, Zavdeik Hashem, ready to perform this miracle. He turned and he spoke, and the speech itself, regardless of what he said, the speech itself broke the connection, and he wasn't quite the same Moshe Rabbeinu in those next couple of moments. Right? Says the Ibn Ezra in conclusion, where I quoted before the Pesuk of the Rav Kahana that says that the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu was that he said Shimon HaMorim. Maybe that's what that really means as well. Not that the expression Shimon HaMorim itself was the problem, right? Not like the Rambam says in Shmona Prokim that it was the anger of Moshe Rabbeinu that was the problem. It was the hefsek of Moshe Rabbeinu that was the problem. The fact that he was on fire was such Dekus Hashem, and he stopped to do something mundane before carrying out his task, that leads to a lack of the Kiddush Hashem, and that is the sin that ultimately labeled Moshe Rabbeinu unready to go into Eretz Yisrael. What about Aaron? Why was Aaron punished? Because the minute that Aaron saw Moshe Rabbeinu speak, he should have said, Moshe Rabbeinu, stop. Don't do anything. We have to regain that connection, that profound Zekus Hashem, before we can go ahead and perform this miracle. I should have grabbed him by the coat and said we have to go back and reconnect before the miracle can take place. Yeah, a fascinating, very, very different approach from the Ibn Ezra. It certainly reminds us on a practical level of the importance of not being mashik, of not interrupting when we're engaged in something which is holy, which is covered. We don't have, I'm sure most of us here don't have the ability to be Zadik Hashem in quite the way that Moshe Rabbeinu did, but we do have the ability to be Zadik Hashem through davening, and the spirit of the Ibn Ezra reminds us that if we're in the midst of davening, we're in the midst of learning, we're in the midst of the Bar Mitzvah, and siphon off our attention to something else, it's not just that moment which we lost, the whole connection can be lost in that hectic, in that interruption, and that can profoundly destroy what it is that we're trying to accomplish. As I said, next week we'll also have the Shiur Monday night, so I just want to bring that to everybody's attention.